So I'm recording now. It's June 24th. And this is Chuck Kress that I'm talking to. And Mr. Kress, I just want to make sure we're clear. So this is, we're going to make a recording of your story in baseball, and then there's going to be a recording of it sent to the Hall of Fame, and they're going to put it in their library. So anybody who wants to come and research anything about you, they'll be able to go there and get free access to it. And as far as I know, nobody's making any money on it.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Okay. So maybe the best way to go about this is if you want to start at the beginning. You're born in 1921 in Philadelphia, and kind of tell about your life in baseball.
Well, I played high school baseball my last year as a senior, and I guess I was fairly decent. I made all public high for Philadelphia, which is, you know, a pretty good size city. And a scout there asked me if I would like to go out to the Phillies ballpark and let the clubs look at me. And I said, sorry with me. So he took me out, and Cincinnati was playing at the time. So I took infield practice with Cincinnati, and they signed me to a contract for Lenoir, North Carolina for $75 a month. And I guess I was probably borderline that first year in pro ball. I don't remember what I hit or what I did or anything else, but anyway, they sent me a contract the next year for Cordele, Georgia for $85 a month. Now, when you stop and think about that, it's $10 a month raise for 5 months of the year. That's $50 for the whole year raise. Anyway, I had a good year at Cordele, and they'd promised me more money. And the manager, when I went in to see him about it, they promised me money if I had a good year. So I'd made the All-Star team, and I think I was hitting over 300, 324 or something like that.
So you were hitting 325 in Cordele.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got all those figures. So anyway, he said, well, you're not going to get it. Real kind of sarcastic, like, you know, just didn't come out right. And I told him, I said, well, you promised me that you would give me a raise if I did well, and I'm doing well. He said, well, you're not going to get it, kid. And I said, well, the hell with you. I'm going home. He said, if you do, I'll blackball. You'll never play ball again. I said, well, go ahead and blackball me. But that's the way you play this game. I want a part of it. So I was going out to the door, and a center fielder by the name of Bill Ward for our ball club. Charlie said, you look kind of teed off. And I said, well, I am. I said, he promised me a raise, and now he's laughing at me, and you're not going to give it to me. So I'm going home. He said, wait a minute, I don't like a hair either. I'm going home with you. And he had a car, so we jumped in a car and took off.
What was the manager's name?
Bill Morrell. And Billy Ward, he lived in Cleveland, right outside of Cleveland, I think. So he drove me to Philadelphia, and he took off for Cleveland. And I no sooner got home than Warren Giles was the general manager of the Cincinnati Reds. He called me, he said, Charlie, what's going on? So I told him my story. And, oh, he said, no, that's not right. He says, I'll send you up to Ashland, Kentucky, in Mountain State League. And he said, I'll raise your salary to, I think, if I remember correctly, $135 a month. And I said, boy, that's wonderful. But he said, I gotta send you back to Cordele now, just to keep face with the manager that I have there. But he said, you'll only be there a short while. So I said, okay. So I reported to Ashton, Kentucky, played some ball games, I don't remember how many there. Then they sent me back to Cordele, and then from Cordele, they sent me up to Columbia, South Carolina, in the Sally League. And I guess I hit pretty well there, so they brought me back the next year, and that was in, what, 40,
40 year,
42,
year.
I guess, 40, yeah, 42. Mm-hmm. So in 42, they were drafting players and so on and so forth, and I knew my name was going to come up, and they had a Coast Guard ceremony at home plate, and they were inducting a lot of boys into the Coast Guard, and I always liked the water, and I talked to the commander, Edgar. I said, hey, how about when the season's over, getting me in the Coast Guard because they're going to get me anyhow. He said, oh, you got a waiting list of about 10,000 guys. He said, Uncle Sam will get you before I can get you in. And he was right. So I spent my 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th birthday in the Army. And I was lucky. I was still in the United States here. And while in the Army, I had a chance to play baseball. And there was a tournament being held in Jacksonville, Florida. All the Army teams in the general area were in this tournament. And the general down at Tyndall Field called the general over to Eglin Field, where I was, and he said, I'd like to have three of your boys transferred over to me. And it was Larry Archambault, a catcher, who later played pro hockey, and Homer Spriggins, a right-handed pitcher who played with the Phillies later on, and myself. So anyway, they put us on temporary duty and shipped us over there, and we played in the tournament, and luckily I got the Most Valuable Player Award for the tournament, which, you know, I felt pretty good about. And then I was discharged after my 4 years were up, or a little bit shorter 4 years.
Where were you stationed?
Eglin Field, Florida. I went in down at the Keesler Field down at Biloxi, Mississippi, where they're having all this trouble right now. And then from there I went to Army Physical Training School down in Miami Beach. And they put me in charge of four other fellas to set up a program at Eglin Field. And the funny part about it was I was a PFC. I wasn't a PFC until I completed my schooling down there at Miami Beach. So they made me a PFC and put me in charge of the group coming up. And when I got to Eglin Field, the lieutenant that I reported to, he said, well, we got to have more than that. You're now a sergeant. So they skipped corporal. And made me a sergeant. And eventually I wound up a tech sergeant, five stripes. And anyway, it was a good experience. I enjoyed the service, although I didn't want to, you know, have to be in there. So, well, then I came out and I went down to spring training with the Cincinnati Reds in 46, and then they sent me to Syracuse. And I spent 46 in Syracuse, and I don't remember, I don't think they had 260 or 280 or whatever it was.
261,
yeah. Wasn't the best of years, but I drove in a lot of runs, and I guess that's what impressed them more than anything else. So, and then in 47, they sent me to Rochester, New York, and I think I got up to about 280-something there.
281. So did Cincinnati loan you to the...
Well, they just option you out. You still belong to Cincinnati, but they just option you out to the ball club. They have the right to recall you anytime. See, at those days, they could do this. Now they can't. They can't do that kind of stuff, I don't think. So anyway, I spent that year in Rochester, and then they sent me down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the Texas League. And then I had a good year down there in the Texas League. And Cincinnati sold me to the White Sox in 49, I guess it was, yeah. Brought me up to Cincinnati, and then they sold me to the White Sox for trade. I don't know what they did. I imagine they sold me because I don't remember any trade. So I spent 49 with the Chicago White Sox.
They sold you for $40,000.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
So at the end of 1949 is when you made your debut in the major league.
No, the beginning of 49.
I'm sorry, the beginning of 49.
Yeah, beginning of 49. I started with Cincinnati in 49. I wasn't there very long. And I think Frank Lane was the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. And he remembered me from Cincinnati, I guess. And
so do you remember what happened that first time you got called up, how you found out in the first game and everything?
Well, all I know is Cincinnati said, Charlie, you've been sold to the Chicago White Sox, and get on a plane and get over there. So
no, I mean when you first made it in the majors with the Reds in the early part of 1949, your first big league game. Does that stand out in your memory?
I think my first big league game might have been in 47.
Oh yeah, you're right, it was.
Yeah.
So go back to 47. Do you remember?
No. I know I was battling Ted Kluszewski, who was given a bonus of about $80,000 at the time, and of course later on he proved it was worth it, but I figured, well, if he gets that kind of money, they're not going to hold on to me, which turned out to be true. And anyway, from there we went to the White Sox. And ironically, you know, I still remember this to this day. I flew into Chicago, got in there early in the morning, and they had an afternoon ball game. I reported to the ballpark, and Jack Onslow was the manager of the White Sox at the time. And I went into his room, his little office, and the first thing he said to me, he says, "I didn't want you." I said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "Well, I wanted a pitcher. There was a pitcher by the name of Walker Chris. And I think that's who we wanted, or I guess, I don't know, but it was a hell of a welcoming." They say, "I don't want you." And from that day on, I guess he never cared for me. So.
But you played in 97 games that season.
Yeah, I think I hit 278. The only thing I didn't do was hit a lot of home runs, and I've always been a home run hitter.
You only hit one home run.
That's all. It was in Detroit or Freddie Hutchinson. And why I didn't hit more, I don't know, unless the pitching was just too good for me. I don't know.
Fred Hutchinson was later your manager in Detroit, wasn't he?
Later on, yeah, he was the manager of Detroit when I went to Detroit, yeah. So that took care of 49 and part of 50. Well, then this is all kind of told to me by Ted Wilkes, who was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. So they sent me, the Cardinals bought me, I don't know what they paid for me, and they sent me down to Houston. And Ted Wilkes was down there recovering from sore shoulder, arm, something, elbow, whatever. And he said, "Charlie, the only reason they got you is they want a backup in case Stan Musial doesn't want to play first base. And they needed somebody to, you know, jump in there. So you might be playing for the Cardinals, and then again, if Stan likes it, then your odds are next to nothing." So, as it turned out, Stan liked first base, and he stayed there. And of course, I stayed at Houston, and I made the All-Star team at Houston. And surprisingly, they had Jerry Witte playing first base when I got there, who had also hit a whole ton of home runs in big leagues. And they said, "Charlie, would you play some outfield?" And I said, "Sure." So I played right field, and then I would come in for defense in the latter part of the ball games. And then it surprised me, I made the All-Star team at first base. And I didn't play that much first base, to qualify for that. But anyway, I did. So that was 50, and then 51, they sent me to Columbus, Ohio, Cardinal AAA Farm Club in the American Association. And I had a pretty good year at Columbus, and then I went back to Columbus in 52, and I was doing well there. And Rochester was fighting for the pennant and trying to get in the Little World Series, so they sent word over they'd like to have me transferred to Rochester, so they transferred me over to Rochester, and I played over there. And luckily, we got into the Little World Series and we won it. Surprisingly, it was a tough Kansas City club that we beat. They had Bob Serve and Bill Scour and Bill Renna, Tony Kubek. They were at a powerhouse. And the funny part about it, they had us down 3-1, Justin, and we were about packed ready to go home because they were just loaded with power. Anyway, they were beating us the final game, and we got rained out in about the third inning. And we all went home and packed our bags and got ready and came back the next night, and we beat them the next night. So that made it 3-2. And the guys had a little meeting in the club and said, "Hey, you know, we might have a chance. Don't change anything. Don't change your clothes. Don't change the thing. Let's go out and beat them tomorrow night." So we came back the next night, and we beat them the next night. So now we're tied 3-3. And we finally beat them the final game. So we won the Little World Series. Yeah. And the players, they voted me a full share, which surprised me because I don't know how long I was there. It wasn't very long.
You played 20 games there.
But I must have helped them, so they voted me a full share. And I got $1,212. And I got the $12, and my wife got the $1,200 for furniture in the house. So anyway, that was in 52, and in 53, they sent me back to Rochester. And that was one of the best ball clubs I played on. Before, we had a good ball club. Harry Walker was the manager. And we did real well. I had a pretty good year there. And then I decided I needed some extra money, and all these guys were going down to Cuba to play. And Al Campanis was going around. He was from Montreal at the time. I think Jackie was up there, Jackie Robinson. And he came down and said, Charlie, how about playing down in Cuba for me? And I said, well, I guess so. And so he made me an offer, and I said, okay. So I took the family. We went to Cuba for that year. But if I don't play every day, Justin, I wasn't much good. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I had to be in there every day. And it just proved itself later on. So then while I was down there, finished up there, Detroit drafted me or bought me or whatever. And I hit real well. Of course, I was ready to go from having playing in Cuba. And I was battling Walt Dropo for the job, who had a terrific year the year before with the Boston Red Sox. Anyway, I out-hit him and had more home runs and whatnot in spring training. I thought, well, I'm going to get a good shake at this. Well, as it turned out, his reputation was greater than mine, and they sold me to the, or traded me, I think, to the Brooklyn Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Walter Alston, who managed Montreal one year while I was having a pretty good year. And I guess Walter probably thought I was going to be a great pinch hitter, but that's not my forte. Like I said, if I'm in there every day, maybe I could do a job. But then he had Gil Hodges at first base, and so I just filled in and tried to pinch hit, but I didn't do too well. So that was it. And then they sold me to Toronto. Oh, the thing about when I was there with Walter Alston, and I liked the guy. I thought he was a fair guy, a nice guy. When they bought me, he called me and said, Charlie, we're playing down in St. Louis. Would you come down and join the club in St. Louis? I said, okay. So I did. Flew to St. Louis. And he called me in his little room down there at his office. And he said, Charlie, I got a problem. I said, what's the matter, Walter? He said, well, I may want to use you today, but I don't have you under contract. And he said, I don't know what they're going to pay you. So I'm asking you, would you sign a blank contract? And I remember saying, Walter, you could put a dollar on that contract, and that's what I'd have to play for. Well, Charlie, you just have to trust me. So I trusted him. I signed a blank contract, which, not today anyhow. But anyway, I did, and he was good to his word. When I got back to Brooklyn, they used me for a pinch hitter that day. I was a pinch runner. And we got back to Brooklyn, and Buzzy Bavese, he was another nice guy, was the general manager, and he said, Charlie, what are we going to pay you here? And I said, well, when I was at Detroit, I was making $7,000 a year, and they promised me a raise if I was doing pretty well. So I said, the only time I did well was really in spring training, but I said, you did say you would give me a raise. Muddy Rules, the general manager, he says, well, we're not going to give you anything. We're just going to sell you to the Dodgers, and you'll take it from there. So I told Buzzy this, and he said, do you mind if I call Muddy Rule? And I said, no, not at all. I said, call him. So he reached over, and he picked up the phone, and he looked at me, and he says, your word's good enough for me, Charlie. He said, how about $9,000? I said, that's fine. I really appreciate it. So he gave me a $2,000 raise just on, I guess, my reputation. So anyway, then it proved that I was not a good pinch hitter, and they sold me to Toronto. And I played up at Toronto, and I don't know what I did up there. I don't remember.
253.
Hell, well, I don't know. Hit some home runs?
Seven home runs,
home runs, yeah. 53
games.
How many? 53?
Games, yeah.
Okay. Well, then from Toronto, I guess they sold me to Buffalo, back to Detroit, and sent me to Buffalo. And at Buffalo, I was probably a hot and a cold hitter. But the thing that I remembered, I think this happened when I was with the Rochester Ball Club in 53, that I had a record in Buffalo. I had 6 runs batted in 1 inning, and I hit a home run with the bases loaded. And I came up again with the bases loaded in the same inning, and I remember I hit a ball that hit the scoreboard in right center field about a foot from going out. And I got a double out of it. So that's where I got the 6 RBIs. Walker held up the guy at third. I was halfway to third and had to turn around and get back to second. But I just sat to think that if that ball had been over another foot and a half or two, I'd have had 2 home runs with the bases loaded in the same inning. And I thought, my Lord. But that's AAA. It wasn't the big leagues. So anyway. So then after playing there, I guess they sent me to Charleston, South Carolina. And I was toward the end of my career, I guess, because I see pitches that I knew I could clobber, and I'd hit them on the fist or the end of the bat, and I didn't do too well. And Frank Scaff was a real nice guy. He was the manager then. And he took me out every now and then, which I didn't particularly like, but I knew he was right. And then they called me and said, Charlie, how'd you like to manage? And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. So they sent me to Erie, Pennsylvania. I managed my first year there. And I had some pretty good ball players when I was managing, believe it or not. That year I had Dick McAuliffe, who wound up in the World Series with the Boston Red Sox. I had Bob Rogers, they call him Buck Rogers, who later managed one of the California teams, the Angels, I think. And that was at Erie. And then they sent me to Durham, North Carolina the next year. And that's the same place they made that movie. We were the Durham Bulls, and they called it Bull Durham. Although the things that they did in the movie, we didn't do in Durham. And in Durham, I had a little second baseman, color boy, by the name of Jake Woods. Real nice kid, good ball player. But I had to get him out of there because they were, well, you know what they did in the South then. They were all over the poor kid. And he was a good ball player. Wound up playing a little bit for Detroit. So I called Johnny Pesky, who was up at Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I said, John, can you use a good little ball player? I mean, a good hitter and a good little second baseman? He said, sure, Charlie. So Detroit sent him up there, which was good. And then I guess I went to Des Moines, Iowa. And Des Moines, Iowa, I guess I had Dick Allen, Richard Allen. Remember the guy that hit all those home runs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was a problem, though.
Now, how did you switch over from Detroit to Philadelphia?
Oh, well, Philadelphia being my home, they'd have these meetings out in Detroit, and I'd have to, whatever job I had, I'd have to ask permission to get off from work. I worked every winter of my life. I never took a winter off at all. I just couldn't afford to. So I told the Phillies, I said, can you use a manager? And they said, sure, Charlie. So I called Detroit and said, I hate to do this, but I said, I'm going to switch over to the Philadelphia Phillies because then I can have the meetings right there in my hometown. So that's what I did. So I switched over to them and managed, I guess, 3 years for them.
So you're talking about Richie Allen?
Well, I guess, and I can't tell you what the problems were because they were pretty serious. I don't know. Can you cut this off?